This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time now for Me and My Mates, the show that celebrates those with disabilities with community news and interviews with Erica, Brendan and Taran. Me and My Mates, supported by Life Skills Taranaki.
Hey everybody, this is Erica Perry.
Brendan Creswell.
And Taran Wallace.
With Me and My Mates. Hope things are going all good there. And today we're at Life Skills Taranaki interviewing Stuart, the manager, and sorry, I've forgotten your name.
Natalie.
Natalie,
can you tell us a bit about what your role or what you do as part of Life Skills?
I'm a client representative.
Awesome.
For Life Skills.
Awesome. Yeah. So when you say you're a client representative, are you able to share a bit more about what that looks like and how you represent your clients?
Yes. Once a month, and on a different day, I do meetings with the clients so I can get their suggestions or their things that they want to see happen for Life Skills. And I'm basically their voice. So
awesome.
I will talk on their behalf and take all minutes to Stuart, who then types them up, and then we actually go from there.
Oh, that's really cool. So, like, you're like a safe space for people with disabilities so that they don't always feel like they have to go to Stuart or someone else. They've
got
someone that maybe they feel more comfortable talking with.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool. And you, Stuart, what do you do?
I oversee just the general day-to-day running of the place, making sure that everything's in place for the team, for the activities they want to go to. Natalie's role, to me, is probably one of the most important roles at Life Skills. As Natalie said, it's the link between the clients and the staff. Sometimes, you know, the issue that the clients may be discussing with Natalie is about one of the staff. So we need somebody that they can go to and not feel pressured or intimidated by or anything like that, that they can voice their concern and know that it's going to somebody who's going to listen to them. And then Natalie, as she puts it into minutes, and then those minutes are what drive our staff meetings and putting things in place. That's where all the activities that are happening are come from, the suggestions from Natalie's meetings.
That's so cool. And just as, like, if there's listeners out there that don't actually have a clue what Life Skills is, can you explain a little bit to us about what it is and how it works?
Okay, so we are a government-funded initiative, so MSD fund us. The criteria for being part of Life Skills is you have to be on a supported living benefit for 6 months or longer. So MSD pays us to provide this service. So a person will come along, they'll register with us, we'll fill in an admissions form. We get their SWIN number, social welfare number, and we register that with MSD so that MSD know that person's attending our service, and then we go with whatever they want. You know, they've come to us. At the moment, health and fitness seems to be a big focus, so we're getting a lot of people coming to us saying they're wanting to get fit, they're wanting to get healthy, and start making good life choices. So gyms, swimming, exercise groups at the YMCA, stuff like that.
Sounds like something I should get involved in, actually.
Basically, the main focus of us is to develop people's independence and confidence in their local community with the aim that they'll then carry on and do it independently without us supporting them.
That is really cool.
So can you tell us a little bit about the history of Life Skills?
Well, funny you say that. We're actually in next year, 2026, Life Skills will be celebrating its 40-year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So we're in the process of trying to find out a little bit about our history. Prior to Life Skills being here on Manadon Street, we were an organisation called Taranaki Enterprises on Saltash Street. So we were what were called a sheltered workshop. People came to us, they spent the day in the workshop, they built cat scratches, trellis work, temporary crosses that go on grave sites before the headstones, letterboxes for state housing. In the 90s, the government decided that sheltered workshops were going to close, and we had the choice of either becoming a business enterprise or a community participation provider. Our board of trustees made the hard call to go, we're going to go community participation, because they felt that the people that employment may not be an outcome for still needed something
activities
worthwhile.
To
yeah,
do
activities,
like that,
you know,
yeah.
Fill their day with worthwhile activities and hopefully build those skills that, that may help towards employment or
yeah.
something like that.
Getting out of the house and having some fun.
That's right.
100%. Yeah.
That's right. You know, if we're not having fun, then we need to change things.
When I left school, I didn't do much. You know, I didn't really know what I could do and all of that. And then I found out about life skills and started coming. But then again, we knew each other before that,
Through Wickham.
What was the course called again? I can't remember.
Vocational skills, it was
then. Yeah.
I think so, it's skills for life now.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So we knew each other from then.
I actually use you as quite a success story sometimes when I'm down in meetings, because your path through life skills is pretty much exactly what we want. You came to us, you attended 4 or 5 days a week, pretty, I think it was. And then you found the radio station and we linked you up with them.
Yeah.
And we've supported you through that, you know, by sponsoring your show and stuff. And we've just stayed in the background, really. We're here if you need us.
Yeah.
But you've carried on and you've taken this radio show to amazing places.
Yeah.
You know, so that's quite
it's
a success
really cool
story
way.
For us.
And like, I guess the, like, has the committee talked about, you know, what we're doing and
The board are very aware of it.
You know,
absolutely, it is.
People with disabilities are getting involved in something, you know, like this. So,
And that's the whole point. You know, if we get out into the community and we start participating in community activities, you meet other people from the community. Contacts are made, and you never know what could happen from those contacts. We've got a recent one because we've started using the yoga studio over there and allowing people, community groups to come and run their event from there. So we've got a PT guy who does a Friday morning session. That led into, he's a fireman, that led into a fire station visit being organised for our guys, which then led into one of our clients being offered a voluntary position at the fire station. Going in there and being part of one of the, they're called Brow, they have different coloured watches for each shift, and so he's going to be an honorary member of Brown Watch. He's got his own fireman's uniform and everything, and they're really including him as part of their team.
Oh, that is wonderful.
And that's just those natural connections, you know, organic connections that happen just through being around each other.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, because human connection, it's so important, isn't it, really? Especially,
it is.
Especially, you know, for different people, you know. I suppose people who may find it harder to connect with various people.
And having those connections in an environment that you're comfortable in makes it easier for it to happen.
100%.
So we took the community participation line. Our board of trustees actually put their homes up to get a mortgage to buy this land freehold. We then sold half of it to Woolworths for their car park, which meant that we could pay off the mortgage that we had on these premises. So we're a freehold here now, which gives us a base. You know, so we are a community participation provider, but we have a base that we can come back to reset if need be, in between activities, so that people aren't, you know, if the day isn't working out how we planned, we don't just have to take people home. We can come back here, we can discuss what's happened, reset, and go out again and give it another shot.
That's really awesome.
Because some groups don't really have a base, so if something doesn't work out, then it's basically everyone has to go off. Whatever. So when there's a base, that's quite a good thing.
Our vehicles were probably the best thing that we ever did, apart from buying the facility, because, yeah.
Haven't you needed a good vehicle to be able to take big groups out?
Well, and we've found that, you know, I'm not... The public transport system in New Plymouth isn't the most reliable. and it's not the easiest to access some places. So the vans just make the service a lot easier to offer. Also getting people here and home again at the end of the day as well.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Do you use them to be able to pick up clients that don't have cars?
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
You know, if we didn't do that and people were relying on taxis, and I know there's total mobility cards and stuff like that and buses, buses, it's a barrier to accessing our service. Yeah. Part of that may be that we are so far out of town, the transport is, I don't think we could provide the service that we do without having the transport, unfortunately.
No, I've seen you guys out and about in all sorts of different places. I've seen you at the gym, I've seen you guys, you know, I watch your posts on Facebook, and you guys are always having a whale of a time, and I look at them and I'm going, I'm kind of jealous of you. To make friendships like that, I kind of wish I'd sort of known about things like this back when I was younger, like when I was leaving school. I'm very thankful that I had a really good upbringing and I was very social in church and stuff like that. So, but for those that don't have any social upbringing, it's got to be a lot more isolating. So having something like this is just icing on the cake.
It's really good. Yeah, like I was saying earlier, when I left school, I kind of sort of felt a bit alone and didn't really know what to do, and then sometimes find out about things, and
it just makes you feel so good
knowing that you've got somewhere to go and hang out and make friends and whatever, you know.
Yeah. And it's your service, you know. It's completely led by the clients.
Led by you.
All those fun things that you see on Facebook, not one of them has been this is what we're doing, you have to do this.
Yeah.
It's been suggestions from the clients and it's what people want to do. Yeah.
So do they don't obviously have to pay for the service then if they're getting supported?
No, the service itself, you know, the vehicles, the wages, the staff wages and all that is all funded by MSD.
Awesome.
We do still expect people to pay for the activity. If you're going to go swimming, then you pay for your admission fee.
Okay.
It just makes it easier for if you end up going and doing it by yourself, you don't have the sudden,
you're used to that money being out of your budget
each week. Yeah. You know, if it gets paid for you every week and then you decide, I can do this by myself. And then you realise, actually, I can't afford to buy $50 worth of my groceries now because I want to go swimming five times a week.
That's like one thing, you know, with people with disabilities and that we've got only get so much a week, and if we don't work, then we've got a budget really strong.
Yeah.
And I do admit, I probably spend a bit much on, you know, things like going out for my lunch and all of that, but, you know.
We're all guilty of that, I think, Brenda.
I think we're all guilty.
But what I do is, like, I will say this because I don't really care, but I've got, like, different accounts for different things. So, you know, I just have put money in different accounts.
Yep.
And then I've got one that I can just use for whatever, so...
If it runs out, all good, it just means you can't
do anything else, but you know, if you know what you're going to do, then you tell yourself, okay, put so much aside for whatever activity, and then so much aside if you're going out for dinner with some mates or something like that. You know, it's pretty easy once you work that out, so creating different accounts for different things is actually quite handy.
And that could be a whole other show, really, is talking about. Actually, there's one thing that we haven't really talked about, is like budgeting and stuff, because I've actually started doing a thing called cash stuffing, and that's a really good way to, like, you know, try and save your money as well.
That's really cool. We can talk about that for the next show, I'd really love to know, because we've got Natalie in the room, so we should let Natalie have some airtime too. I'd love to know, Natalie, what would be your most favourite activity to do with life skills? And then I can ask the next question after that.
My favourite is going to the gym. I actually love going to the gym 4 times a week.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah.
And am I allowed to ask what gym you go to?
I go to the Ladies Curve, Gym Curves.
That's amazing.
Yes.
It must make you feel so accomplished and, like, just feel real good about, like, just getting out and doing some exercise.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
And yes. Do you go with other women, or do you just go on your own, or is there, like, a group of you that go?
There's a group of us that go.
That's really cool. I'm excited. Yeah.
Five of us.
What number's on your t-shirt now, Natalie?
Have you got numbers? 2,000. So can you tell us, like, especially the listeners that won't know, what's the meaning of 2,000?
The meaning...
Is that how many times you've been?
To the gym, yes.
Is it?
Over 16 years,
Years you've been going to the gym?
Yes.
So proud of you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, I remember I went to the gym when I was training for a half marathon, but I think I just prefer to be outside in the fresh air and walking, like, that's kind of my jam.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really awesome. And you know what? I should have asked that other question because now I can't remember what it is.
Oh.
Karen, do you have any questions?
I think, yeah, I suppose, for both of you, really, like, what do you feel like, I suppose, a memorable highlight for you or something that you feel proud of with your group of life skills?
For me, it's a daily thing. I get so much inspiration from coming and working here each day, what these guys push themselves to do and achieve. I find it as a huge inspiration for me in my personal life. You know, that these days we all wake up some mornings feeling that, you know, I can't really be bothered with this. You know, things are getting too hard.
Mm.
You come into work and the smiles, the greetings, the positivity, and you know that some of the people that are standing in front of us here have faced way more challenges just getting there that morning than I ever will in my life, and it just puts things in perspective for me. So yeah, daily I feel very proud to be part of Life Skills.
And you probably see a lot of happy people, you know.
Absolutely. And you know, that just shows that what we're doing here is working.
It's a good thing.
You know, one of the first things we say to people when they come and sign up is, if we're not having fun and there's no laughter, we need to change things because it's
wonderful.
Things aren't happening how they should be.
That's what I like about
that's
it.
That's a really cool energy.
It is, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's really cool. And did you have anything you wanted to add to that, Natalie?
For me, it's because I've been coming for a very long time. And for me, it's the social skills. Being involved with the clients here as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Now, I just wanted to, like, ask one question, which I asked in our last interview, and it's just a bit of a fun, quirky question, and I'll ask both of you. But I'll start with you, Natalie. Would you like to share three things about yourself that maybe no one else knows, or maybe only a few people know, that you'd be willing to share on the radio? You don't have to answer the question, but it's sort of more just to get to know you and sort of three things about yourself that maybe someone might not know, or just three things about yourself so that people can get to know who you are as a person.
So three things about me as a person. There's probably not a lot that nobody knows about me because I tend to talk about myself quite a bit. I'm a very proud father to a 9-year-old boy. He's probably one of the most enjoyable parts of my life, other than work, is spending time with him, watching him grow. Seeing myself in him. something else about myself. I got into this field of work completely by accident. It probably isn't the best story, but when I went to school, the was just the start of sort of mainstream education, but the people with disabilities were still sitting at the back of the room and weren't really part of the group. And I wasn't the most sensible student. And one day one of my punishments was to sit next to a young boy with Down syndrome in the back of the class and spend my day there. We became best friends, absolutely best friends. And that was the beginning of my IHC then asked me to do some work experiences, buddy support. One of the first buddy supports set up, and I just went from there. And something else.
Did you think of something?
Well, this might come as a surprise to Natalie, but I really don't enjoy the midwinter swims that you keep us doing each year, Natalie. I have to say it was quite a relief that I wasn't able to participate in it this year. So Natalie's a lot braver with me and a lot braver than a lot of people I know when it comes to getting into cold water. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they say that getting into cold water is supposed to be good for you, but it can't really be. It makes you feel colder, doesn't it?
I doubt it.
Go to a spa pool then.
Yeah, well, that's why I go and sauna instead.
I'm the other way around.
Yes.
I'm
going
to
a
sauna.
Too hot.
I love it.
Yeah, I do. I'd much rather go in a spa pool than in a swimming pool, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the spa pool was your favourite when you used to come swimming with us at the aquatic centre too, Brendan.
Yeah. And then after a while I started taking the scooters out.
That's right.
And I crashed one day. It wasn't much good having to go back and just say I crashed the scooter.
You didn't navigate those railway crossings very well, did you?
No. That's something that someone may not know about me. Even with bad eyesight, I used to take out the scooters. And I dinged one up. And it was pretty embarrassing. Something else people may or may not know about me is my granddad let me have a go driving his car one day. And that was actually quite fun. And I don't know how, but I managed to get it up our driveway and park it on the lawn without knocking his mirrors off. Lucky, eh?
Was it you or Louis that wanted to drive a car as part of your IPP at Life Skills? I think it might have been Louis.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and we went through because we don't feel that anyone has the right to tell anybody that they can't do something.
Absolutely.
Everybody has the right to find out on their own whether something is achievable or not. So we actually took Louis through the process of getting your driver's license so that he realised himself that I'm blind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to get a driver's license.
Yeah.
It was quite an interesting... But what we ended up doing was we went to the AMP show one year and Louis got into the Dodgem cars and drove one of them. Yes. And he had a blast. Yes. The guy down there was amazing. I think there were only like 3 or 4 other people on at the time, so it wasn't all collisions and stuff.
Yeah.
But Louis got to experience that driving, steering wheel, accelerating and braking. It was, yeah...
That is so good.
Yeah.
So amazing.
And the other thing I thought was really funny is I actually had to go driving a car on a farm once, and I put a ding in that, and it wasn't anyone to do with the family either. So you would think I'd be more likely to put a ding in a car on the road and going up a driveway, right? But I put a ding in a family friend's car. On a farm. So that did not go down too good. And usually you would think being on a farm, you wouldn't ding up a car.
Yeah, I was just like, how did you manage that?
I probably wasn't looking the same, thinking, you know, that because it was all grass. And,
yeah, you know, well, that's what you'd think, eh?
How about you, Natalie? Do you have any aspirations to want to learn to drive, or do you drive, or
am
I allowed to ask the question?
Yeah, sure. Years ago, I attempted 13 times.
To get your license.
Yeah, to get my license years ago. But then I had eye test problems and things like that. Yeah. So
would you ever try again with the equipment's evolved since then probably? Or would you just don't worry, not too worried about it?
I'm not really worried about it.
Okay.
I think for me I don't like tests.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm a bit sad.
I get too much pressure and tests.
They're a bit anxiety inducing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just the same as filling out paperwork. I'm not terribly good at filling out paperwork. Very good at practical things, but not the paperwork. So maybe you feel a bit the same. Like better with practical things. Yeah. That's really cool. Did you think of anything you want to share with us, or have you?
Well, yes.
Awesome. You don't have to if you don't want to, but that's really cool if you want to.
Yeah. No one knows that I did abseiling.
Wow.
As well as Jules High Bridge in 95.
Oh.
I'm bringing that up because that was the biggest thing I've actually did in my life.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Is that abseiling? Abseiling
off the bridge. And at the time, when I was on this course, there were heaps of boys more than girls.
Yes.
And all the boys told me to go first, so I did.
Oh, that's so cool, though. Yeah. Where did you go?
Yeah.
That's, and did you enjoy that? Like, was that something that you loved to do?
I loved doing it. As soon as I did it, I mean, I've got to do that more. But I never had. After that, I never did.
Would you do it again, like if the opportunity presented itself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Next week we're going to have
to. I'm just thinking that's something you could take to Stuart, and then maybe you could find out a way of
doing it. Oh, that sounds fun.
That did remind me of another achievement. It's in line with your 2000 workouts.
Yes.
Do you remember how you celebrated your 2000 workouts with Bruce?
I do.
Yeah.
And that was climbing up Mount Paratutu.
Climbed up Paratutu. Yeah. What an awesome achievement, girl.
Scared of height. Scared of height because I looked down. Okay. And then Bruce was amazing. He turned me around and guided my feet back down.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was very good for that.
And the guys here are pretty awesome, aren't they? Yes. Like, looking into you, I reckon that was an amazing achievement, and we might just stop on that amazing note because we've kind of run out of time.
Yeah, we have.
So we just want to thank you so much for taking some time to let us interview you.
Yeah,
absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I think we can thank you personally, you know, also for, you know, for what you've done for the show and...
For Life School sponsoring the show.
It's been a privilege. It really has. I'm very proud that our name's associated with what you guys are doing.
That's awesome.
And thank you for letting me come in on board as a host too. That's really awesome.
More than merrier.
Loving it. Absolutely loving cool. it.
Well, it does.
I'm trying not to take over, but I'm loving it.
Because it doesn't change the funding cost or anything. No, so that's good.
Awesome.
No, it's cool.
So
thank you so much. And we hope the listeners enjoyed listening to
today's
episode.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Catch everyone again next time.
Yeah.
Later, homies.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.